All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And let me point back to this whole, from about chapter 4 on, is so much having to deal with our physical bodies, our sexualness, our identity in Christ, and what we've came from. In fact, in verse 13 it says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Thank you, you may have a seat. There is a great phrase. I was at Ozark Christian College in Joplin, Missouri a few weeks ago with my youngest daughter, Chloe. And actually, in that, they had a chapel service that we got to participate in, and we were there, and the gentleman who was preaching the service, and they were actually dealing with the aspect of our identity in Christ, our sexualness. And I thought, this is kind of weird, and part of me was thinking, this isn't even anything I'm not for sure I want my youngest daughter to hear, but I'm so glad she did. And I'm glad that she was maybe even in that environment, because even amongst a Bible college campus, there were a number that had made decisions about what they needed to be doing differently than what they had been. And it was so great. One of the phrases that he used in that sermon was the challenge that in your singleness, chastity. In your marriage, faithfulness. And that would be cover whatever stage of life or stage of our identity we would find ourselves in. In your singleness, chastity. In your marriage, faithfulness. That's what I would encourage you to do as well, is to think about those things. Consider what God is wanting you to be and do, and what he has sent his son for in order for you, and what you've come out of. See, one of the circumstances in 1 Corinthians that Paul was trying to help these believers, some of them relatively new believers, with was their identity and their sexuality because of what they've come from. See, in their current culture, prostitution was everywhere, men and women. There was the reality of and Paul identified it specifically in chapter 4. There was a guy that had been sleeping and having sex with his dad's wife. And Paul was like, what are you doing allowing this type of behavior, these types of things to happen? You are better than that. You are more than that. Christ died for you. You've been bought with a price. And so there is this essence. And you saw the urgency in the very first few words of that passage that we read just a few moments ago. Flee sexual immorality. That's actually the first point. It's actually the second point and the third point in this sermon. Flee sexual immorality. It's the only sin that we see the Bible dealing with specifically where we are encouraged to get away. Don't touch that. Get away from that. Other particular sins, it's a different type of dynamic. But the issue of sexual immorality is severe. There are huge consequences. There are huge relational issues. I remember helping another different young couple in Arizona, and they were struggling I was meeting with both of them at the time, and she said, you know what really frustrates me is that Tom would rather spend time with the lesbian that is next door, and so he'll stay up at night and talk with her than he would choose to be with me and the kids. I looked at Tom and I said, is this true? And he says, well, yeah, I mean, she's kind of interesting. And I said, okay, dude, here's the deal. There's no scriptural point to this part of the sermon. But I said, if I was doing that, Gayla would kill me. It was interesting that Becky, she said later on, I got to thinking, if Gayla would kill you over that, I should probably be thinking differently about this as well. I said, yeah. The reality of us fleeing sexual immorality, we need to be doing that. We need to stay pure. We need to flee sexual immorality. That's point number two, which was also point number one. Flee sexual immorality. I think it's also interesting that God knows it. I mean, he's the one that created us. We're created in his image. He had a specific design for us. But Jesus speaks directly, I think, to this in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. You remember that passage, and it's a fairly popular passage, oftentimes referred to, maybe not always in case of sexual sin, but it is referred to, I think it deals specifically because God knows us so incredibly well. You remember the passage, it says, if your eye causes you to sin, what are you to do? Pluck it out, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, what are you to do? Cut it off. That sounds incredibly drastic. But that was the climate there. If you had actually stolen something in that climate, you did run the risk of losing a hand as a consequence for your sin. But I think it's ironic that Jesus is pointing out those two particular senses, aspect of sight and what we touch. He didn't say what you smell. He didn't say what you taste or even what you hear. He said what you see and what you touch. As specific. I think it's because he knows us so incredibly well, because the things that we put or allow in front of our eyes are the things that will cause us to sin. Guys, in particular, the things that you touch, that will cause you to sin. Flee sexual immorality. Stay pure. The body is not meant for sexual immorality. I used this in a sermon back in, I believe, August. Right place, right time, right people. You remember that? Right place, right time, right people. And oftentimes that's what I say to my kids as they're leaving, getting ready to go on a date, or they're even going to work, or they're just going to do skateboard or whatever. I say right place, right time, right people. As fellow believers, I would encourage you, specifically in this regard to fleeing sexual immorality, be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. Those three elements, if you do those well and keep up with that, right place, right time, right people, it keeps you out of, it keeps you in a flee stance from sexual immorality. If you are in the aspect of being in the wrong place, even if it's at the right time and with the right people, that doesn't help all that much. If you're in the wrong time, but with the right people and the right place, that's still not the best. Or if you are at the right place, right time, but with the wrong people, there's still consequences, aren't there? Right place, right time, right people. That's, I think, what Paul here is trying so desperately to urge these new believers, these Corinthian community folks that are coming from a very depraved environment. And to tell you the truth, I read the news just like you do. I get to hear how depraved the current culture is. I hear what would have been considered horror stories that are just so commonplace now. And it's the issue of nobody's choosing to flee sexual immorality. I would encourage you to consider that even from this day forward. Flee sexual immorality. Point number three, flee sexual immorality. It's going to require that you make decisions or set boundaries early, or maybe even now if you haven't. Fleeing sexual immorality requires you to set boundaries and establish decisions now. I made a decision more than 30 years ago now. We saw decisions and commitments here on this very stage made yesterday by Clayton and Jayla. That decision I made 30 years ago and that I hold dear means so much. That Jayla made plus 30 years ago means so much. We made that decision. And so that keeps me from making other decisions. Make determinations, whether it is putting child protective devices on things like this. And guys, if you're married, letting your wife set the password and then not giving it to you. I've got a Netflix account at the house, and we have determined that we're not going to see rated issues or R-rated things on that device. Gayla set that password for us as a family. I don't even know what it is. And routinely, she's checking to make sure that I am not putting anything in front of my eyes. There are some boundaries or some decisions that you may need to make, gentlemen, or ladies. Some would say, oh, pornography is more of a guy thing. Not so much anymore these days in our current culture. There are many who are struggling with that. There is sexual immorality everywhere. And in looking at the despicableness of what was going on in Corinth and what those believers were coming out of and really struggling with, if God didn't deal with them as severely, he would have needed to offer an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah for the destruction there. That's how despicable that is. And sometimes you get wrapped up and you think, oh, it's so our current culture, it is not just in Washington, it's not just in LA, it's not just in Chicago, it's not just in Effingham, it's in Salem as well, it's in Verina. It's in Alma. It's in Ken Mundy, for sure. The potential for sexual immorality even happens at 8013 Meacham Road. That's where I live. The potential for sexual immorality is available and possible at your home, on your devices, in your life, in front of your eyes. You need to flee that. You need to stay pure. You need to take an active and an aggressive approach to the aspect of purity. You need to pursue it, because there is this reality that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from that type of thing. Back to Peter and Francis. She was crying. He was mad. What she was crying about was the reality that she needed and knew better. She had actually grown up in the church and had known that the lifestyle that she had been living, this impure lifestyle, this choice to live with this man who was not her husband, was potentially, or had the potential of, separating her from God. What he was mad about was that she did not tell him. I thought he was mad at me. Peter was not. He said, "How could you let me do this?" It was time for some drastic decisions and some drastic measures to be taken. I encourage, if they still wanted me as a minister of the gospel to participate in their wedding ceremony, I said, we can do a few different things. And that doesn't necessarily condone any previous behavior, but from this point forward, you're going to choose to do right. And so what I encourage them to do, if I could do a wedding right now, and they could choose to, I mean, we were in the church already. I could do a wedding right then. I also offered them the reality of, Francis, you need to go and live back with your folks. You need to move out. You need to separate. You need to be apart from them. And then you also need an accountability relationship with somebody. She connected with Gayla. And so they met over the course of the next few months prior to the wedding for the family. Peter, I met with regularly. I was his accountability partner. And it took somebody, and I encouraged, I said, Peter, I'm going to be asking you on a very regular basis, every time we meet weekly, how is it going in this particular area? What are you putting in front of your eyes? What are you touching with your hands? What are you doing? How are you doing? And somewhat, he had commented about this later on. He said, you know what helped was knowing that somebody was going to be asking me the hard question every week. And he was interested in the relationship with me enough to abstain in that way. Later on that next summer, they had their wedding ceremony. I got to perform their wedding ceremony. And I got to also communicate and witness to decisions that they had made in that regard. Because the desire that they had and that I encouraged them towards was that they needed to be faithful. They needed to have a chastity about them. They needed to have something that they could look at again from this day forward. That's where we find ourselves at today for you. There are some of you here that need to be making decisions. Some of you made a decision a long time and you've kind of maybe even blown it. And you've wrecked a relationship. You've wrecked a marriage or two or 12. You have struggled. You have you've really, really messed it up. You've messed it up for somebody else's wife or husband. You've not been in the right spot, the right time, the right place, and it is heartbreaking. The reality, though, is what is so true. I appreciate as much as Paul is dealing with those believers in Corinth, he says, not only flee from sexual immorality, but down there in verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body. Honor God. Stay pure. From this day forward, from this point forward, you have an opportunity to flee sexual immorality, to choose differently than our current culture would choose. You have the opportunity to not be what you once were because of Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to make a decision. Some of you need a relationship with Jesus just to begin with. And from this day forward, we can help you with that. Some of you are needing to reestablish a commitment made in aspects of purity. Whether you're single, married, widowed, or maybe confused, you need to choose and realize, testify, and live a life fleeing sexual immorality, because again, the consequences are too severe. And there's not a person breathing in this room that can get away from that reality. Would you please stand? We're going to offer an invitation. If you need to make a choice, you need to make a decision, you need to draw a line in the sand that you're not going to go back, that the people that you're with are going to be maybe different. Maybe you're going to have to choose a different job even. Maybe you're going to need to do things completely different. Maybe you're needing to do something, anything, differently than what you've been. You need to flee sexual immorality. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, I want to encourage and challenge and stretch. But I need folks as well to see how big you are and how far your arm has reached. Because the consequences of the sins we find ourselves in are too severe and too big for us to even think that we could handle on our own. There is no way without you in our lives, without you and your sacrifice of your son Jesus in our lives, for us to have that reality. So Lord, put it on us today. It's in your son's name we pray.